Letters.
On AI and war, peer review, renewable energy, salmon farms, drugs in Canada, football, and legal advice.
What AI means for war.
From Simon Diggins, Colonel, retired, defence analyst, Rickmansworth, Hertfordshire. Your briefing on how artificial intelligence is changing warfare was timely. Article Model Major General, June 22nd. Indeed, the Israeli systems, Lavender, and the unironically named Where's Daddy, have crunched thousands of pieces of data to establish credible intelligence as to whether an individual is a Hamas operative or not, and his rank in the organisation. The latter determines prioritisation in the targeting process and adjusts the acceptable collateral damage variable. As we have seen, scores of civilians can be killed in a strike on a supposedly high-value target. The Israeli systems are not fully automated, but this seems to make little difference to the kill or abort decision. Independent research by the Israeli Plus 972 magazine and reporting by Queen Mary University of London indicate that the AI targeting system moves very fast and the human in the loop is pressed to, as one operator put it, accept, accept, accept. The pressure of time is a constant in military operations. As one trope has it, better a good plan now than an excellent one too late. No modern army is therefore going to abandon the advantages that AI might bring. However, it is clear that the moral and political constraints on the use of AI in war have not caught up with the technology. This must be tackled soon. The thought of unrestrained, autonomous warfare is simply horrific.
Less AI is more.
From Kevin Allwell, Director of Solutions Engineering, Financial Services, GitHub, Colts Neck, New Jersey. The solution for peer reviewing the deluge of artificial intelligence-assisted scientific research is not to beef up the process by paying reviewers for the time they sacrifice to scrutinise papers. Article, Can You Make This Clearer? June 29th. Instead, AI should be adopted as a first pass on submissions, thereby accelerating the review process to the same degree as authorship. For example, an early argument for the use of large language models was the authorship of software. Now the industry is instead increasingly asking LLMs to perform a preliminary review of proposed code changes. After an initial review by AI, a human is pulled into the loop for a final validation of accuracy. That human review is often assisted by AI in the form of inquiry. All this acceleration is a boon for the proliferation of high-quality scientific research. It will speed up the authorship and review processes while freeing researchers to perform the important task of researching.
From Michael Bunsick, postdoctoral fellow, Princeton University, Princeton, New Jersey. Those who outsource the writing of papers to LLMs forget a crucial fact. In science, writing and thinking are intimately connected. The writing process provides the creative space for new ideas and interpretations to emerge, change shape, and in some cases die. Only by putting pen to paper can scientists fully flesh out arguments, detect logical errors, and discover new lines of research. Antoine Lavoisier, an 18th century French chemist, wrote that we think only through the medium of words. Languages are true analytical methods.
Renewable energy in Europe.
From Dr. Harald Overholm, CEO and founder, Alight AB, Stockholm. Article Gridlock, June 22nd, highlighted the irony that renewables in Europe, once deemed too costly, are now considered too cheap. This is a mistake. Low prices are an opportunity, not a problem. Although price volatility is nothing new, the surging demand for clean energy to meet mass electrification is novel. Significant future growth is forecast for energy consumption, which will naturally balance the scales. Now is the time to get ahead of the game by speeding up the push for renewables. Long-term power purchase agreements allow large companies to lock in prices for up to 20 years and cushion the impact of volatile spot prices. Although spot prices attract attention, they do not necessarily reflect the broader financial health of renewable energy projects. Those who seize upon low prices as an opportunity to undermine the clean energy transition do so at their peril.
Factory farms for fish.
From George Chamier, London. There are other problems raised by open sea salmon farms that were not mentioned in your report, article Death and Salmon, June 22nd. These include the pollution of the environment from fish feces and the chemicals used against the inevitable build-up of parasites. This decimated the sea trout populations of the Western Highlands when millions of fish were packed together in a small space. Moreover, the farms have had a disastrous effect on wild salmon, causing their numbers to crash. Tens of thousands of fish escape from the farms every year. Those that survive may breed with wild fish, producing offspring which lack the distinctive genetic inheritance that every river system requires. It is time to stop treating the ocean like a dustbin and either regulate the farms far more strictly or move the whole operation to land-based salmon farms.
Deadly fentanyl.
From Dr. Michael Reeder, Division of Clinical Pharmacology, University of Western Ontario, London, Canada. The problem with drug overdoses and deaths in Vancouver is complex and difficult to tackle. Article Fentanyl versus Vancouver, June 29th. There are many factors in play. One is that, in addition to fentanyl's known potency, adulteration is a major problem. The Canadian Centre on Substance Use and Addiction has demonstrated that British Columbia has the highest rate of adulteration of other drugs, such as stimulants with fentanyl. People who might think they're ingesting cocaine or methamphetamine are thus exposed to fentanyl, often with tragic consequences. Another factor is the relative shortage of rehabilitation facilities. Harm reduction works best when coupled with robust rehabilitation and prevention strategies, which are less than optimal across Canada. Without these resources, harm reduction alone is a one-legged stool.
Jewish football teams.
From David Bolkova, London. The Economist explainer on football in Austria, June 28th, underplayed the Jewish contribution to the game in Vienna before the Holocaust. The reason why Austria's top team in the 1920s and 1930s plummeted after the war is because the Nazis, with strong support from the Austrian population, expelled or murdered the Jews. You unforgivably did not mention Hacoa Vienna, the most incredible story of any club in the history of football. The avowedly Zionist and exclusively Jewish team, amid unremitting hostility from opposing fans and players, won the Austrian League in 1925. It was forcibly shut down in 1938, the players' successes erased from the history books.
Boutique law firms.
From Dominic James Moore, Berkhamsted, Hertfordshire. I commend your guest Bartleby on providing legal advice to her hairdresser within the span of a single hair appointment. Article Why You Should Think Like a Lawyer, June 29th. One assumes it was a cut-and-dried case.